I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head out to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We'll say good morning to our friend John Keim. Covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. John, our long national nightmare is over. Terry gets extended. He'll be there for week one. When is he going to be on the practice field? Give us the details. I did like your idea, too, that you tweeted at John_Kime. I think the Commander should now start selling a, quote, hold-in hoodie in honor of Terry McLaurin. He's back in the fold.
There you go. Yeah, I would like a cut of that.
Sure.
I think it'd be quite popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe he'll be out on the practice field on Wednesday. Thank God that ankle is healed.
Yeah, it's great. Good news.
Yeah. The thoughts and prayers worked, folks. the expectation is that he'll be out on the practice field Wednesday. It had to happen because this never made sense. Logically, these sides are way better together than apart. I think they're very good together, McLaurin in this community, with this fan base, with the organization, but also what he brings to the field is very good for them. It's good for the quarterback, but he now has a quarterback that is very, very good, and it can help him remain productive for the next several years. So it always made sense that this would happen. But, yeah, the expectation is he'll be out there and then obviously be ready for the season opener. It's a good thing for them, too, now because you get him back, and then Noah Brown looked really good running around on Saturday before the game. So you have now – you should have all your – the expectations that all three top receivers, Brown, McLaurin, and Steve-O, will be playing in that opener.
Mm-hmm. It's great that it happened when it did, John, because I know me, just as a fan, I was kind of reaching a tipping point. I had kind of said to myself, if he wasn't there – I'd said Thursday, right, because today's a big cut-down day.
Right,
Wednesday
right.
was a big – you know, it's a big practice squad day. So like, I figure everybody be busy. If he's not there by Thursday, I'm going to really kind of start to lose it. And everyone loves Terry. And I feel like sentiment was somewhat changing. Now all
oh,
that
I
can be
that.
You know, behind us. We can move on and worry about the defense.
Yeah, and but it is true. Like, the sentiment had definitely shifted.
Yeah.
And even just like even on the comments I see on Twitter, on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Initially, it was like 99-1.
Right.
You know, how can you not have this guy there? How can you assign him? And lately, it's been very split at best.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, like people just wanted him in there. And at some point, it's like, let's just get it done.
Right.
I think it's, they need him in this offense. We all know that. But it's that trickle-down effect of what he provides that can be a big boost to Deebo Samuel, you know, creating more room underneath for him to break tackles after the catch, right? And, you know, Zach Ertz over the middle. So,
John, thank God it's not a one-year deal like what they're dealing with in Cincinnati. We're going to deal with this all over again.
God, I would not want to go through that again. And, you know, yeah, and I think, I don't think he would have signed that.
Right.
And I don't think it would have made it would. Here's the thing: like, it would not have made sense for him to play this deal out. It just wouldn't have. And you're really, you know, could it pay off for him differently? Maybe.
It's a risk.
But it was
too much.
It's a definite risk at that stage. And you know, you can't help, like, the league views receivers as they get older differently. And that's just the reality of it. And so he would have been going into the market knowing he'd be 31 next year. So it just made sense to get this done. And it's less than what he would have wanted. I'd say it's more than what they obviously initially offered. But that's how these things go, right? You kind of meet, it feels like it's meeting somewhere in that middle. And we don't know. Here's the other thing. We don't know the true value of this contract yet.
Gotcha.
And until like we can see the quote average, but you can play with those numbers to get certain averages.
Right.
So we don't know the true value of it, but it definitely is a good
So the only big number we know is the $30 million signing bonus.
Correct. That's it.
Right.
And so, like, the team isn't going to say anything. They, you know, typically after signings like this, teams let the agents have their have the headlines, have the victory lap. There's no reason to come out and say, well, actually, the deal is this. And I think I know a lot of people have tried to get the total guarantees, including myself, and, you know, haven't gotten them. And you don't know, like, well, why is that? You know, why don't we know the total guarantees? Is it, you know, are you just being quiet, or are you?
What's your gut on the guarantee, right, around $60
million? Yeah, I would think so. That would make sense, right? I mean, that definitely makes sense. But it's on the average per year. It's going to be different, I think, when we see the final deal and, like, what the real terms are. But, you know, the first couple of years, clearly to their liking. And this always, like I said, they, you know, Peters was out in San Francisco where they got a few deals done at this time of the year, right? So, and I think it also made sense. Like, I was talking to people a couple of weeks ago, and they were kind of at the point where they're like, he's got a, one GM told me he's got to put the hammer down and, you know, give him a final offer. And now is the time where, and whether or not this was, would be classified as that, I'm not, I can't 100% for sure say, but it makes sense. If you say, like, this is the offer, we've got to get moving on the season, let's go, you, you know, take it or play it out. I mean, you know, that would make sense. Right. So, you know, like I said, logically, it always made sense to get this done because it's just, you know, McLaurin is very good here, and this is a very good place for him.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to on the field. It's amazing how just having him in the fold changes your perspective on the offense. The preseason was awful. You only saw Jaden, I guess, one series. They scored a touchdown. What are your expectations for this offense coming in week one?
You know, I'm going to say it could still be bumpy, but honestly, I don't know because – number five is just different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he makes a lot of things work. But the problem, the question I would have, the question, not the problem, because I don't know, because, again, they were very, very good last year, and you get the all these parts back. But, you know, you haven't had McLaurin out there. Noah Brown hasn't been out there. And, you know, the offensive line, like Tunsil's been, you know, in and out of practices with these, some minor issues. Brandon Coleman just got back. Sam Cosmi, obviously not there, you know, rookie right tackle, who's going to be right tackle. Is it Connolly or Wiley? So, like, there's still some questions and can it operate at a certain level of efficiency right away? Is this enough time to get it there? You know what I mean? So, like, that's the only question I would have, but when their pieces are together, you feel pretty good. And what I did like is what we saw from the run game. And I know is a small sample size, but even watching Rodriguez run, knowing what Eckler can do, you know, seeing what Kroski Merritt might be able to do in real games, like, you know, I think there's some encouraging signs there. But I just, you just wonder, can they get to what level of efficiency can they get to right away, given how really little time they've had together this summer.
John, what do you say to fantasy owners that are kind of excited about Kroski Merritt? But I think I was listening to your pod a few days ago, and you mentioned that, look, they rarely keep more than three running backs active on game day. They like McNichols on teams. I mean, is there a scenario where Kroski Merritt's not even active on week one?
I think there, and I would say this, and people kind of sometimes misconstrue things. I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know their running back rotation. The only thing I would say is exactly that. Like, more often than not, it's only three.
Yeah.
Now, if that fourth is a, if all of them can play special teams and have a role there, then you can get away with that. Or, you know what I mean? So, like, it's conceivable. But if that fourth guy is mostly special teams guy, they're not going to get many carries. You know, it's hard. I would say this, even if all four are active, it's hard to get four running backs touches. And then you also factor in the run game, especially Jaden Daniels and Deebo Samuel. And I don't know how many carries a game Deebo Samuel will get, but he's certainly going to, you know, I would expect him to get a couple touches there every game.
Yeah.
And then again, Jaden Daniels is a part of that run game.
Right.
So it will be hard to, I would have, honestly, if I'm playing fantasy, I don't know what I would do with their running back situation because I think it's going to be more by committee.
It's a little muddled.
Maybe avoid it altogether.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, like, I think then it's like, well, who might be their short yardage guy? And it's like, well, Chris Rodriguez would make sense there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because again, like with Kroski Merritt, we just don't know. And I don't know what they're going to do there, but I do know, like, it does happen where they'll keep four active. But again, if you're keeping four active, they're not all getting carries.
Right. All right. So let's talk about the defense. I think everyone agrees on paper anyway, the secondary should be better. Remains to be seen how much better Lattimore is. People seem to love Amos. You know, I assume he will be an upgrade. Sanistril, people pretty much love him. Now you got Noah I sort of on the back end of that rotation. Looks good. But I think there are still serious questions up front, sort of the front seven. I mean, Bobby Wagner's kind of the anchor there, but, you know, he's not going to get any, you know, he's a phone booth, right? I mean, there's a certain area he can cover. Where do we stand with that front seven? Because at the end of the day, we got to force punts, John. That's what I always say. Can we force punts? And I'm not certain that this unit can do it at a much greater rate than last year. I hope they can, but I don't know. Remains to be seen.
It remains to be seen. And so I think they're deeper up front than they were last year. What that means yet, I don't know. I think they can play different kinds of packages than they could. Like, you can have a, quote, bigger pass rush package out there where if it's like third and three, third and four, like guys like Jacob Martin, Payne, Kinlaw, and like Dietrich Wise, all capable of rushing the passer, not necessarily great pass rushes, but all capable. But they can also, they're also big enough if they're trying to run the ball too, right? So like, you really couldn't do that last year. So there are little things like that. And I think there's a lot of versatility up front. And I think, like, when you see games and, like, watch how Dorrance Armstrong is used and, you know, the way I believe they will be moving Frankie Louvu around more than they did last year as a pass rusher. So I think, like, those ways can make them effective. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I can sit here and talk about that, but you have to do it. And I think the big key for that group will be the fourth quarter, because they were horrendous in the fourth quarter last year. Mm-hmm. And so for the first three quarters, they were pretty good, right? And then will they force more turnovers? Because that's a massive key. Like, we didn't see any of this preseason either.
Right.
So, and I know it wasn't a lot of the starters, but still, like, you know, this team turned it over quite a bit. I think the turnovers will be a big key. And then obviously the run defense, and, you know, Kinlaw is a big dude, and there are times where he is just, you see that size just like stun offensive linemen, but then you also see him sometimes like maybe getting up out of his stance too much. Right. And, you know, how does that play out? And, so I do think they have more ability to be good up front than they did last year. But yeah, I mean, you have to do, we've all heard times in the past where things look a certain way and don't play out that way, but I like what they've done. I think there's, again, the ability to be more creative is there, but got to do it.
John, how much concern that there's not a lot of depth behind Louvu and Wagner in a young, untested linebacker core?
I mean, I think there has to be concern, right? Because, you know, I know they like Jordan McGee a lot, and when he's healthy, he looks pretty good, but he has to stay healthy. That's the key, but he's also inexperienced. I do think, like, him being healthy, he'll get more reps, because they'll use more three linebacker sets against like bigger offensive packages, like two tight end, three tight end sets, which they couldn't really do last year effectively. I think that will help the run game as well, but they need him healthy. And then behind him, Nick Ballore is a special teams guy. And let's say they keep Kane Medrano, a draft pick. Well, he's not a big guy. Like, there was debate whether they should try him at safety or linebacker. So he's going to be more of that, like, if they went to the Buffalo nickel package, like, that's kind of his role, and using his speed and can he cover? And then it's like, well, do you keep another linebacker, Ali Cajo, like, who had a nice summer? And I don't know that they'll keep a sixth linebacker, because it just depends on what they do at some other positions. But yeah, there's, you really only have one backup right now that, with McGee, who has experience to go into a game. But it's minimal because of the injuries he suffered.
Hey, how are you feeling about special teams, specifically
kicker?
Well, we'll talk about that being Matt Gay. I know he didn't have a great training camp and preseason, but, Lane the number one punt returner?
Yes.
Okay. How are you feeling about that? And then how are you feeling about Gay?
So I like Lane a lot. And I think, he just looks different. Even in practices, like watching them just return it on air, right, where he just is a little bit different, a little bit quicker after catching the ball. The way he catches the ball, I think, gives him, you know, his first step is almost always forward, where some other guys, their first step is like back and then pushing off to go forward. Like, that little thing makes a difference. He's quick with his cuts. So I like what I think he can do. He's going to, I don't know if he's, I don't know about taking chances, but he's going to be aggressive. And, you know, I know, like, Brian Mitchell is something, he loves watching this kid. Mm-hmm. And I trust him, but I've enjoyed watching what he, how, just how he practices with that and the way he looks. So I like what I think he can do. And there are going to be some 2 yard gains and a few 40 to 50 yard gains because of that desire to be a little bit more aggressive. As far as Gay goes, like, he started off fine. And then the last couple weeks, you know, the last several weeks, I would say, like, there were more misses than you'd like. I don't know that it was like, you know, we've seen kickers here who have been a lot worse in camp. The games, the what concerns you is that his struggles typically from his career are from longer distances, and that's where he missed. And so, you know, other, you have other teams that's an advantage for them. So he's, you know, you have to be better. And it's funny because I know, like, people always, they get a lot of, like, they need to bring more kickers into camp for competition. Well, the competition for kickers is always there. Like, kickers know that if they have a bad game or two, that they're in trouble. And the kickers that you would bring in, that you would look at, are out there. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see some more today for any team that had two out there. And they, like, they didn't bring one in. Teams don't typically like to bring in a second kicker into camp because it's, you know, you're...
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EARPOD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keeping one of 90, you want that roster spot somewhere else. But there are teams that do, especially like in here, they thought they had it solved. But if they guys that they may want to our quote-unquote competition, they're out there, and they'll be out there after today with the final cut. So, but yeah, he's like, that was concerning, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. John, thanks as always. We know you're super busy on cutdown day. We appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, that's John Keim, covers Commanders for ESPN.com. He will be a busy man throughout the day. Don't forget, Joel Corey is going to join us coming up in just about 25 minutes. He's a former sports agent. We can break down any details he might know about Terry McLaurin's new extension with the Washington Commanders. That's at 7:45.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD-1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.